Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 16. Luke in chapter 16. We're going to be reading verse 1 all the way down to verse 13. Luke chapter 16 this morning. And again, all those that are at home, we ask and encourage you just act like you're in church with us and open up the Word of God. Stand with us as we stand. Read with us. Pray with us. And let God just meet with you there in your home and speak to you as you have need to be spoken to as well. So at this time, if you would, go ahead and stand. We'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand. Luke chapter 16, verse 1 down to verse 13. The Bible says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward saith unto within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and for the opportunities we have just to hear from you and to draw closer to you. I pray, God, that you would just empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. Pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is the parable of the unjust steward. The unjust steward. Jesus taught many truths by way of parables. I love the parables and the Gospels. It's just a tremendous blessing. A parable is a story or a view to comparison. Some ways similar to Proverbs, but this was Proverbs would be more of an Old Testament presentation of a story, and this parable is more of a New Testament way that Jesus would reveal these stories that you would be able to view to be able to compare by. In either case, we find that he would always have a truth in mind when presenting the parable. He would have a truth that he knew that the people would need to focus on, and then he would design a parable, a story, by which he could present things that they would be able to look at what he presented and then apply a truth that he had in mind to their lives. And so Luke in chapter 16, an unjust steward, we're looking at an unjust steward. that would have to make a life-changing decision. Now think about that, because that's what he is focused on. This is definitely an unjust steward. And we see that throughout the parable that he gives to us. And he would present it in a way that this steward, being an unjust steward, would have to make a life-changing decision. Sometimes, even we don't realize it, but we face things that force us to make a life-changing decision. We just got to make sure that we're making the right decisions. When we're faced with situations that we have no control over, and we understand that God is still in control, there's no doubt about that. God is still on the throne, no matter what takes place. God is still God. His word is still true. And yet, sometimes we face circumstances of life, and we face certain situations, whether it be health situations or relationship situations or whatever, financial situations, and we have to make decisions because it's what we are facing. Now, that's what's going on here. The disciples that Jesus has given this parable to, he wanted them to know that you're going to have times in your life and your ministries and in your service to me that you're going to be faced with some things that's going to bring you to a life-changing decision. And let me encourage you with this parable on making sure that we make the right decisions. So that's what we have here in this parable of the unjust steward. Now, first of all, in verse 1, we find that there was a rich man with a steward. That's usually who would have the stewards. A steward is to manage the wealth of another. And so this was very popular then, that we would have people today, retirement companies and different ones that we would look to that said, hey, this is what I want in retirement, and so I need you to help me with this and manage some of my funds and manage this. So somewhat like what it would have been there as a steward, a rich man with a steward. Now, as we study the New Testament, all believers are referred to as stewards of God. If you're saved this morning, then God looks to you as a steward. And we need to see ourselves as stewards and be faithful to whatever God has entrusted us with, to make sure that we will give an account one day for all that God has entrusted us with. All believers are referred to as stewards of God. And at some point, this man had obtained the favor of the Lord. He didn't tell us this. And again, it's a parable, so it's not a definite how many years or how long it took to do this or whatever happened. But this parable helps us to understand that this man had become a steward. In order to be a steward, you have to be hired or find the favor of the one that has the wealth. And at some point, this man had wanted to be a steward. At some point, this man had proven himself to be trustworthy, had proven himself to be just. And so he was hired and brought on by this wealthy man to be able to be his steward. He trusted him with that. Don't lose sight of that, because this is a steward. And the steward becomes a steward because you found favor with that which entrusts you with his wealth. And praise the Lord for salvation, because in order for you to be saved, you had to find the favor of God. You had to believe that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell. You had to believe that God loved you enough to send his son to pay a sin debt that you owed and couldn't pay. And you had to receive that gift of everlasting life. And as you receive that, then God entrusted you with a position of an ambassador, a position of a steward. So we find here that this man was a steward. He had been in favor with his Lord at some point. But verse 2 and 3, and he called him and said to him, how is it? He looks as a steward that he had once put his trust and faith in and had found favor in, and now he says, something's changed. I've just got information. I understand something's going on in your life and in your stewardship, and you have wasted that which I have put in your trust. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? So first of all, how is it? A life-changing situation that he's faced with. He got caught. Is that what happened here? He had been doing it for a long period of time, and now he has to face it because he never thought he's going to get caught with how whatever he was doing to be unjust as in the position of a steward. Sometimes I marvel of what takes place in Christianity from time to time, and you hear of things that happened that had been going on for some time, and yet they continued to hold a position as a pastor or a deacon or a faithful church member or whatever, and you find out that, wait a minute, they should never have had that position because of things in their lives going on. They had been unjust. So whether or not we find that this man got caught at this time, how long he had been doing it, the Bible doesn't say. Again, it's a parable, but we know he was faced with a life-changing decision. Now he has been caught, it has been revealed, and he would have to make a decision and what he was going to do in his life. Maybe he really wasn't a thief. Maybe he was just a lazy steward. Maybe he just didn't want to go out and do what needed to do and collect the monies that was owed his Lord. Instead of being dishonest, maybe he just at some point, now again, he had found the favor with his Lord. His Lord had entrusted him to be a steward, but somewhere in between, he had just gotten lazy. I see that happening a lot. As well, sometimes we just, get tired of doing the same things that we know we should be doing, and because of just being lazy, we stop doing that which we know we ought to be doing as stewards. And we're going to have to face that at some point. Maybe he just thought that his way of stewarding would work and that he would really never have to answer to his Lord for his stewardship. The reality of it. We don't know exactly all that went on here. If he was dishonest, if he was just lazy, or he thought about how he was doing it, whatever took place. But the reality of it was he had been accused of wasting his master's goods. He had been accused of being an unjust steward. He was charged with unjustly wasting the Lord's wealth. That was reality. Can I tell you, sometimes we face life-changing decisions because we have to face reality. The reality was he had been guilty of what he was charged with. The reality was that he was where he finds himself. Sometimes in life we are faced with consequences to what we've done or what we have not done or whatever it might be, and we try to blame it on somebody else, or we want to act like it didn't happen or it's not real. But when you have to face reality, you have to make decisions based on reality. Whatever that might be, financially. How in the world people think that, well, I thought that I could just put it on a charge card and it would be okay. Isn't that what you have the charge cards for? And how that some people don't ever think that there's going to come a day when they're going to have to pay that and charge. The people just don't give you things so that you could live the way you want to live unless you're on welfare or the government. But sometimes we get to this mentality that, no, it's all right because somebody else will take care of it eventually, and I won't have to pay the debts. But he would have to pay the debt. He would have to face reality. The thinking of an unjust man is found in verse 3 and 4. The steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me." Okay, your Lord taketh away from you, or did you get caught and have to pay the consequences for your failures? An unjust man wants to blame somebody else. An unjust man does not want to accept responsibility. I cannot dig, he's honest, possibly there. To beg, I am ashamed. So I am resolved. This is what he comes up with. This is what he is faced with and what he chooses to do. This is the choice that he makes. I'm resolved with what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they, the ones that he was supposed to be collecting from for his Lord, they may receive me into their houses. The thinking of an unjust steward is, I'm faced with this, I am guilty, but whose favor do I prefer? How do I want to handle this accountability? Do I want to try to please the Lord, or do I want to make friends of the mammon? Verse 5 through 7 reveals, instead of confessing and seeking forgiveness, as a just man would want to do, he devises a plan that would make him a friend to the world. Verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? This is what, as a steward, he was supposed to be overseeing and collecting what was owed his Lord. But now he wants to make friends with somebody that is of the world, somebody that owed his Lord this money. 100, and he so-called every one of his Lord's debtors, said at first, How much owest thou unto the Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Knowing that everyone is searching for a bargain. Didn't care how he gets it. If I can get by with only having to pay half of what I owe, sign me up. And the person that allows me to only have to pay half of what I owe, then I will be indebted to them. That's basically what he was counting on. The only problem there is, it wasn't his money. He was unjust, and he had no right to take away the money of the one that he was supposed to be working for, in favor of. And that's why he's unjust. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 in measure of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Now, we're going to get to that verse 8 in just a minute. But in verse 5 through 7, instead of confessing and seeking forgiveness, instead of doing what should have been done by a just individual, he made friends with the worldly. In verse 9, we find that Jesus brings it up when he says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, and you will fail, when you side with the world, you're not going to be able to please God. They may receive you into everlasting habitation. They're going to go to a place of hell, and because they did not make things right with the Lord, and that's where you'll go. So, chosen to turn his back upon the one who made him his steward. He chose the favor of the world over the favor of God. Now listen, this is a parable, but this is the truth. Sometimes things happen in our life and we have to face a life-changing decision. And that life-changing decision is what we're going to do with our relationship with God. And am I going to put more value on my relationship with God or my relationship with the world? We're forced to make the decision because of what happened in our life. Whatever's taken place, it's a time that I've got to make a decision. I've either got to be committed to my Lord or I've got to devise a plan to be able to fit into the world. Wow. Well, and then you find verses 8 through 12. Now, that's what's taken place. No doubt he's outlined it. Jesus outlined this parable very, very well. But then this is a controversial part of this parable that a lot of good men might disagree a little bit in how it's going to be applied. But it says exactly what it says. And the Lord commendeth the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for this, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. They're more aware of the ways of the world and how to get by in the world than believers are. And yet this man understood what he had to do in order to fit in with the world. But he commended. Now, can I tell you that Jesus would never condone sin? We understand that. But he commended the unjust. The Lord commended the unjust. Even though he is going to bring highlight into what this man had done, he said, this is an unjust man. Can you have any other expectations from somebody that is unjust? He didn't say this was a just man who did that, because a just man could never do that and remain just. But he was faced with a decision, a life-changing decision. And what he did with this would change his life, would change the direction of his life, would change who his friends were, how he would live his life from that point forward. And Jesus commended the unjust, because what he'd done was unjust, but he commended. Still unjust, but if he had worked as hard to be just, he would not have been fired. If he would have thought about it and prayed about it and was willing to get off his couch and was willing to get out there and work like he had to do in an unjust way, if he would have just taken the time and the effort and the wisdom that he applied in being unjust to being just, he quite possibly could have remained steward. Because he had had favor with the Lord at some point. For a long time, he had lost sight of his life as a steward. It doesn't give us detail. He just helps us to see that it didn't happen overnight. But at one point, he was in favor with the Lord. And somehow, over a period of time, he became unjust and wasted his Lord's wealth. For a long time, he had lost sight of his life as a steward, and he had failed. Wow. I believe we come to crossroads in our Christian life. I believe we go through some of the most difficult battles that we'll ever face in life are there to try us and test us. Just see what we're made of. See what kind of decision you will make for your life. When forced to make a life-changing decision, he chose wrongly. God allowed this in his life. God never condoned him being lazy. God would have never condoned him being slothful. God would never condone him being a thief. God would never condone him being unjust. But God allowed these things to take place to bring him to the place of a decision, a life-changing decision. Sometimes we go through financial stress, losing a job, can't pay the bills. And you say, God, where are you at? And it could be that God's bringing you through some things to test your devotion and the decisions you'll make concerning him and the world. Sometimes we might even have to face the coronavirus. Sometimes we might have to come to the place where we think, Lord, what's going on? I mean, this is your church and all the different things are happening and what is, where is the sin and where is this and that and that? And that. And sometimes it's just God just bringing us to a place where you're going to have to make a life-changing decision. Is God God or not? You're going to serve him or not? You're going to let a coronavirus get you to lose faith? Are you going to allow a coronavirus to get you to commit a greater faith to him? Been through a lot last couple of years. Somebody said, man, you, old devil trying to take you out through a six-way heart bypass. Now the old devil's trying to take you out with a coronavirus. What have you done wrong? As far as I know, I mean, I've not not done anything wrong. I've just tried to continue just to serve the Lord. But can I tell you that in the midst of dealing and facing life and death, and I've come to the place where I've had to make some life-changing decisions in my faith, in my belief, in my stewardship. Am I God's or not? If I'm God's and God's in control, I can only do what I can do. But I'm going to do what I can do. Instead of turning away from God, which is the worst thing that I could ever do, I'm going to turn closer to God, which is the best thing to do. And Jesus, dealing with his disciples, and said, you're going to face some things And he was right. The first century, check it out. You read the first century apostles and what they had to go through and the things that they would have to face. He's preparing them with this parable by saying, you're going to have to face some things, reality. What kind of decisions are you going to make? Are you going to turn back to the world to find comfort and help and strength? Or are you going to be even more dedicated with a greater commitment to serving me? Wow. Because ultimately, this all comes down to, and he uses this thought in verse 13 and several other applications in the New Testament, but he says this, no servant can serve two masters. Is that what happened to this man? He was trying to serve the world, to be friends with the world, but then he also tried to keep things covered up so that he could be a friend to the Lord as well. He made a mess of things, but no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Yeah. A greater commitment to who you are and what you have as a steward is what was needed. And yet he chose to turn to the world. Chapter 15, this parable followed the parable of the lost son. He was getting across this thought, not only in the parable of this unjust steward, but it's the very same thinking that he wanted to get across when it came to the parable of the lost son. In chapter 15, verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He made the wrong decision. He came to his place where he either had to say, all right, I'm committed to my father, I'm committed to this life, I'm committed to being all that God, my father wants me to be, or I don't want any of it. I'm going to the world. I want to live my life however I want to live my life. I want to seek the pleasures. I want to seek what I think to be the good times. And he made the wrong decision. Because once the wealth was gone, the Bible says, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with this hunger. Wow, he made the wrong decision. But eventually, God allowed him opportunity to go back to the Father to make the right decision. There's going to come times we're going to face circumstances and situations that's going to force us to make a decision. Life-changing decision. It's not a time to lose faith. It's a time to walk closer to God. Let's make the right decisions. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, whether here in the auditorium, in the gymnasium, or at home right now. We don't want to be unjust. Somehow, this just steward became unjust in his stewardship. And when he was faced with reality, he made the wrong decisions. Don't make the wrong decisions. keep your eyes focused on the help that's available, and that's God. Seek Him. Father, we bow before You this morning. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to apply these truths of this unjust steward to our lives. And Lord, when we face these life-changing decisions, we would remember this truth and we would stay focused on the right decisions. Our commitment to who we are as stewards. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.